Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, we appreciate you listening to us on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Auville and Eric Bickle. Joining us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotlines, our pal Logan Paulson, former Washington tight end, co-host of the Take Command podcast. Hey, Logan.
How you doing, man?
So during the radio broadcast, where are you positioned? Are you on the sideline?
I am on the sideline, yeah.
So what was your view on that last play?
So, yeah, I was kind of standing down near where the offense was, kind of like from behind looking down on it. And, how many times have we seen end-of-game scenarios, or at least I've seen end-of-game scenarios, and you're like, okay, they're going to get their first chunk, they're going to throw the ball out of bounds, and then they put the ball up, and something unusual happened last night, obviously. So, pretty exciting. Wish I had moved down the other end, but I wasn't expecting that result, obviously. Right.
So the chunk, I was actually, because I saw a couple of end of game situations yesterday, and I think it was in the Ravens game where there was only one pass rusher, and there were a couple guys taking away the sidelines before even a Hail Mary situation. Maybe it was a different game, but I actually thought that was a terrible move by the Bears to concede that out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's obviously, like, they make the decision, they work through that, and they have their analytics department. But I've seen it go both ways, you know, where teams kind of will concede the out and let you get 5 yards closer because they're so worried about over-the-top stuff. But I do agree, I think they probably should have had some type of flat defender. But again, like, you know, when we prep it, or when we used to prep it, like, for all the different teams I was a part of, If that vertical route there has free access, because Terry is isolated by himself to the left, you just run an out and you just throw the out. So I think it might have been like a side adjust in game. And again, I'd have to talk to somebody in the building, but I've been with places where you've got the Hail Mary on, you get free access. They're not in that kind of cover two sideline protection defense. You throw the out, you get five yards closer and give yourself a better shot at the Hail Mary.
So, Logan, give us your boots-on-the-ground experience with Hail Marys, having been in the league from 2010 to 2019 with different teams. How many were you a part of? Were you ever part of a successful Hail Mary conversion?
Yeah, no, I've never been a part of a successful one. I will tell you that teams practice them constantly. You know, every Friday you do your two-minute, and then you'll work like end-of-game scenario. Sometimes you do it Saturday in the walkthrough before the game, and you kind of work through your last three plays. Some teams have four where it's, you know, you get in a bunch, you run them down the field, and they have different variations where it's like a hook and ladder potentially, or some type of screen, and you're hoping to kind of run in for it, get everybody blocked up. And, you know, you work them all the time, and they're just never execute that well because they're such a low percentage play. And obviously, like, I think everyone saw in the game yesterday, you've got your diamond formation, you got the guy behind, you got the guy in the middle, the guy in front, and you do that to kind of maximize the opportunity. But, it's so low percentage, it very rarely works out. But I mean, that one worked out about as well as you draw it up. You know, you have the guy in the middle, you tip it up, the guy behind's right there, he catches it. So nice to see one actually hit, I guess, because I've never seen one in person playing or you know, covering the team that's hit like that. So pretty special.
Well, part of it is they didn't even tip it up. It was the corner who had his back turned for 4 seconds. What's it going to be like for him when the team looks through film that he was actually taunting the fans for 4 seconds while Jaden's scrambling around, while guys are running downfield about 30 yards downfield? He's got his back turned on the play.
Yeah, I have no idea what they're going to say about the taunting, but I will say the one coaching point defensively that I vividly remember in my 10 years of playing, my 5 years of college, that every single defensive pack coach said is, whatever you do, do not tip the ball up. So I know for a fact that they're probably going to bring that up to him. They, you know, obviously there's the other stuff with the fans, but in terms of coaching point, like, I could almost recite them on the day. You know, when we were doing our jump ball period at the end on Friday or Saturday, and it was like an echo. It's like ringing in my head just thinking about it now. It's like, knock the ball down, knock it down, knock it down, and that guy did exactly the opposite. He punched it directly up. It couldn't have been you know, almost as if we had planned it that way. And so, again, he's going to hear an earful about that, I'm pretty sure.
So, Logan, you've been around here a long time. You're here with some good moments, but some bad moments, too. Those of us that are fans, hell, almost our entire career, they've been losers, a few random one-off playoff appearances. Are you willing to say we got the guy? Because my producer over here, one of my producers is not willing to say that. I mean, I think we've seen enough, like, God willing, you know, barring injury, which can happen to anyone. But I think we got our guy for the next decade. Is Logan Paul, I think you're a very analytical guy. You're not an emotional guy that way. Can you say that objectively yet?
I don't think so. I mean, obviously, Jaden Daniels has been amazing. You know, he's been historic. He's been unprecedented, all the things you want to see. I mean, he's exceeded expectations. I've never watched more film on a college prospect than I've watched on Jaden Daniels, and I knew he was going to be good. I just didn't know he was going to be this good this quickly. And so, again, the league is complicated. It's something that's always evolving. It's always changing. It's always adapting to you as a player, especially when you're good. So I think he's done everything correct. He's done everything right. He's made the plays he needs to make. But I still need, like, a larger sample size, and that's just how I operate in terms of, you know, making these claims about him being the guy moving forward. And, again, has he shown every indication that he's the guy? Absolutely. And am I excited for the Washington Commanders? 1,000%, because he is special. It's just, you know, can he stay healthy? Can he keep evolving? Can he keep working? There's a lot of adversity around that position here in Washington, around the NFL too, not just here in Washington. There's so many eyes on you. There's so many distractions. And can you stay focused? Can you stay focused for 10 years? You know, can you stay focused for 10 years on anything? I can't even stay focused for 10 minutes. So you got to be wired a little bit differently.
All right, fair enough. Would you bet on him?
Yeah, I'd probably bet on him.
Thank you.
Hey, Logan, did you see any throws yesterday? Clearly not on the Hail Mary throw. It didn't affect him there. But any throws during the game where you think he may have been impacted by the rib injury? And do you think that's going to be an issue in the Giants game this upcoming weekend?
That's a good question. I didn't see anything where I thought the ball velocity was diminished or the release was diminished. I did think that, you know, probably I'm assuming the limited practice reps affected his timing a little bit with the receivers. And so, you know, depending on how that goes over the next couple of weeks, like, can he continue to build that chemistry and keep that chemistry with these guys? You know, I think that's something to definitely keep an eye on. And again, he played amazing. Like, his ability to create plays and get first downs for this offense with his legs, and some of those footballs that he threw were thrown with great anticipation, but they were just a tick off of what his normal standard is. And so that's something I'm going to keep an eye on, definitely, as the season goes on. I don't think he's physically limited. I just think it's reps, time on task, that has to be limited, because you want him to be healthy for Sundays.
Flipping the script a little bit, what did you see in Caleb Williams? And I actually want to bring it to the Commanders. On the TV, when they would show some of the times that he was taking sacks, it looked like nobody was getting open, which I'm going to compliment the defense. The defense looks like it's getting better. What did you see?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you. I definitely think the defense is playing at a really high level. I thought the secondary did a lot of good things. Obviously, there's a couple plays here and there, like the St. Juice penalty, but I thought, you know, St. Juice had a really good game outside of that. I thought Mikey Sanders had one of his most consistent games on the perimeter. I think the safeties are playing fast and physical. It's a fun group to watch. Obviously, Frankie Louvi, Bobby Wagner in the middle of the defense are, I mean, just electric. You know, Bobby's ability to find and make tackles is incredible. Frankie's ability to create as a pass rusher and just kind of be that emotional spark plug for the defense is awesome. Big Phil, I thought, had a great game. Jerzon, I thought, was coming alive a little bit. And I think the rotation at edge is also something that shows up. But I will say, all of that is true. But I will say that I really did not understand what Chicago was doing. You know, Shane Waldron's a guy that I'm familiar with. He coached under the Kyle Shanahan tree. Just in terms of the amount of volume of cans and checks they had at the line of scrimmage in a road game in a hostile stadium. And again, the crowd was bumping. I think that really elevated the defense also. But I just did not understand what they were doing. And I felt like they did not maximize the skill sets of their playmakers. And I felt like they definitely didn't maximize Caleb Williams. And I thought, as they got simpler, as the game went on, the offense got better. But I just did not understand the decision on their part to make it so complicated so early for a guy in his first year.
How good overall do you think this team actually is? We saw what happened when you played the Ravens. Ravens, legitimate Super Bowl contenders. They could have easily lost yesterday, even though I thought they played well, especially defensively. We've seen moments. How good is this team?
I think it's a good team. I mean, I'm glad that you said team, because I think when you look at some of the parts, maybe you're kind of, oh, we could, you know, add someone here, add someone here. But I think as a group and as a collective, I think they're playing at an extremely high level. I think the offensive line is punching above their weight class, and they're playing physical team commanders football. I think the skill position guys, again, like Terry seems to be in a resurgence. His chemistry with Jaden Daniels is tremendous. I think you got to point to Jaden Daniels and what he's doing. And I think you got to look at the defensive staff, Joe Wood Jr., Daryl Tapp, all those guys over there, and say, hey, man, they are elevating their personnel. So I think the team is good. And I think obviously there's things that need to be handled kind of in the offseason in terms of increasing the talent. But like, this is a team's team, and I think they're gonna win a lot of games that no one predicted them to win. Obviously, I think Vegas had them at 5 or 6 wins for the year, and they're already at that total. And it's because of the culture, the team dynamic, and just how hard they are. Everyone's playing, there's not one individual. They're all playing hard all the time, which is awesome to see.
Logan, let's give some love to your fellow tight end, Zach Ertz. He's got 32 catches already. He looks like he's going to smash his 56 catches back in 2021 with Arizona. He did that in just 11 games, but 15 catches in the last three. So he's become a pretty big part of this offense and somebody that Jaden can lean on.
Yeah, 1,000%, man. He's a lot of fun to watch. You know, he's maybe not as fast as he once was, you know, in his rookie year or whatever, but his understanding of route running, coverages, how to create space, his obviously rapport and trust that he has with Jaden Daniels is tremendous. And like you mentioned, what was it? What did you say, 51? Is that what you say, 52?
He had 56 grabs back in 2021, and that was in just 11 games.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's for sure going to eclipse that. I mean, as long as he can stay healthy, because just again, when you watch the film, the All 22, like his route stems, his breaks, his being friendly to the football and being a friendly target for the quarterback, that number is just going to continue to go up. And then in critical situations, just that's who Jaden's looking for is Zach Ertz. So he's going to have a tremendous year, and I'm really happy for him because he's a quality human being.
Did you disagree with the call that they did not give him a touchdown? What did you think of the call there?
That's tough, man. That was such a tough call. I was standing right there on the sideline when it happened, and I don't disagree with the call. I think it was, you know, obviously he caught it like by, you know, if you're playing out in the backyard with your buddies, you catch the football. But based on rule, you got to kind of make a football motion. You got to serve. I don't know if you have to survive the catch anymore. I'm not even sure what the updated rule on that. But I think you got to, again, make a football move kind of as you're coming to the ground. And
yeah,
he did not do that.
Let me ask you. So if we're playing and you just throw a missile to him and he just catches it and, you know, the clearly catches it in the air, right? Hand catches it in the air. That should be a freaking touchdown. Like you can't, and then if somebody rips it out of your hand 5 seconds later, who cares? Like you caught it.
I mean, that's the rule, man. You know, it's like you and me playing, we know it's a catch. But again, like the rules and the parameters and the restrictions on what it is, what a catch is in the NFL is a little bit different. So I know that's frustrating, and it's frustrating for me because you're like, oh my gosh, what a tremendous play. But unfortunately, that's how the cookie crumbles.
Talking to Logan Paulson, former Washington tight end. You can listen to him, co-host of the Take Command podcast. Back to the Hail Mary play. I'm just curious because you're a guy that watches film. You said you've practiced this a million times. Why aren't teams rushing more guys? Like rush 5 guys, rush 6 guys, and speed up the clock.
Yeah, I think you're just trying to maximize your coverage opportunity. And again, this one was successful yesterday, obviously. But I mean, how many Hail Marys have you seen that don't work? Because there's so many guys back there, they can't. You know, there's too many coverage players. There's not enough separation in the back there because everybody's back deep. So I think that's probably why. Like, I know this is a frustrating day for Chicago, an exciting day for the Commanders, and you say, oh, coulda, woulda, shoulda. But there's a long precedent in terms of just rushing one. Some teams rush one, some teams rush two, and it's enough to disrupt the quarterback, and you're just relying on it being a very low percentage throw down the field and trusting your guys to make a play. I will say the one thing that I was a little surprised at by Chicago, and I've seen a lot of teams do, is you put your receivers out there because they have slightly better ball skills, and that's something that I like when teams do that. Obviously, the New England used to do that with Randy Moss. When I was in Atlanta, we used to do it with Julio Jones. And then, obviously, New England used to do it with Rob Gronkowski. I think that's a smart move, getting that kind of bigger body, 50-50 contested catch guy out there, because they have a better ability and a larger skill set at tracking and catching the football. So that's one thing I probably would be a little bit critical of today. But in terms of the rushers, I think there's a really strong precedent that you don't need many because it's such a low percentage throw.
I will say I've made the point of saying it three times today that if you ask Google, you ask Alexa, they'll say in the last 10 years, it's like 9%. Like if you ask Google, how successful are Hail Marys in the NFL? It's like 9%. It's like shockingly high.
That is higher than I thought, actually.
Yeah, it's shockingly high. And think about it. I mean, you may not have been on the field for one, but you kind of see them all the time when you're watching TV.
Aaron Rodgers has four in his career.
Yeah, yeah.
That's,
so,
that's insane, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, the game's never over. They've taken away the onside kick, though. That doesn't exist. They did ruin that, which infuriates me. Yeah.
Yeah. As a kicker, you're a kicker.
I like the technique of a good outside, you know, onside kick. I do.
Well, they still can do it. They just have to declare it.
No, it never works now. It's like,
wasn't there one last week that worked?
Didn't it just work?
It worked last week.
You Google that one. It's like 1%
okay,
or less.
But it worked last week.
Okay.
The Ravens have had two onside kicks recovered against them this season.
That's crazy. Look it up. Look up the percentage.
All right, go ask your Alexa again.
All right, I'm gonna do that. I'm going to do that.
All right, Logan. Good stuff, man. Continued success.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Always fun talking to you guys.
All right, Logan. Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate the Take Command podcast, part of the game broadcast as well. Always great checking in with him. Coming up next, we want to tackle a question. I put it up as our poll of the day, presented by Scotty's Vodka. Maryland made super smooth love throughout the DMV. 6-2. One via Hail Mary. Are they a team of destiny? 800-636-1067. We'll tackle that next here on the Junkies.